Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres begin a long 9-game homestand with their first of three against the Diamondbacks. And hosting the program, we've got Mike Janella, also known as the guy who doesn't bring donuts.
But no, that was just the first impression thing, you know, try and get off on the right foot.
You lie.
Also in studio, we've got Bob Scanlon, who's pleased the team is back home in San Diego for so long.
We're sitting here basking in the sun, right? We could be here in our board shorts and our flip-flops.
And rounding out the crew, it's our stat man, Chris Ello, who knows that in order to win, the Padres have to score.
The Padres, over the last two seasons, are seven games over 500 when they score at least one run. They win.
That doesn't sound much fun. You score a run, you got a chance to win the game.
Just one.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Janella, Bob Scanlon, and Chris Ello.
What's up, everybody? Padres are back at home. We are back here in the AMR studio getting you set for a 7:40 Friday night first pitch between the Padres and the D-backs. Friday night means it's the first party in the park of the season. Just opened up. People are flocking to the park in the park behind center field, grabbing some happy hour specials. And let me tell you guys, the way the offense has been producing the last couple of days, you could use a drink if you're a Padres fan, I think.
Oh, you debated whether or not to go with that.
Seeing the people there, I do not blame them. We've got Chris, we've got Skans, and Mike. And we did not plan. We're all wearing some shade of purple today, which we did not plan whatsoever.
I didn't get that memo, nor did I get the memo that you're supposed to wear a tie
right.
to this show.
Chris has worn a tie every single time he's been on, which I applaud the fashion.
You know what happened is that I wore a tie the first show. Now I don't know how to get out of it.
You can just stop wearing them if you want. But I wore one today in solidarity with you. And then Bob showed up, tie-less, so he decided to go get one of the great Tony Gwynn socks that we have here.
So sweet. I'm
killing
two birds with one stone right here, right?
And he's making a makeshift tie.
Stance, Tony Gwynn. Yeah, if there was a Jackie Robinson set up there, I would have grabbed those. But I'm going to go with the Tony Gwynns instead and, you know, a little sock tie look.
It's also Jackie Robinson Day. That would have been something cool. But alas, we'll take what we can get out of you, Bob. So, all right, let's take a talk here. We got a lot going on today. Obviously, the Padres are back for this 9-game, 10-day homestand after they went 3-4 on the road trip at Colorado and Philly. I think we have Jabari Blash is on his way to chat about what things have been like in the Padres clubhouse. We're going to break down this Arizona series coming into town. But first, let's talk about yesterday. Whew, that Vince Velasquez, he was dealing. What else can you say? Padres had no shot.
I can't tell how much it's Vince Velasquez and how much it's the Padres making him look like the second coming of Bob Gibson. I mean, are you serious? 16 strikeouts, no walks?
Yeah, here's the line.
A three-hitter?
Complete game, man. Shutout, three hits, no walks, 16 strikeouts. Only one other pitcher in the game right now has done that. It's Max Scherzer did it last year. Only six guys ever have done it. It's Scherzer. Velasquez is not part of this group. Randy Johnson, Kerry Wood, Doc Gooden, Louis Tiant, and Clemens did it twice. Decent company. That's not bad.
No question
bad
about
list
it.
To join.
Now, I had a chance to witness Kerry Wood's 20-punch-out game.
20-strikeout game?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. I was with the Astros that season, sat there in the bullpen watching guys punch out with futility, and that reminded me of that type of outing. Granted, the Padres are not swinging the bat well, but that kid was absolutely unbelievable. And when you trade a player like Ken Giles, which the Phillies did, 100-mile-an-hour throwing closer, you're going to get a piece back. This was the marquee piece that they got in the pieces back. This kid actually brings it, no surprise, 95-97. What was impressive to me, though, was how many strikes he threw, Chris. 113 pitches to get through nine innings.
And 81 strikes, I think.
He didn't mess around. It was fun. From a pitcher standpoint, that was just coming at you.
What's crazy to me.
That wasn't fun to watch.
Not as a Padre fan, but as a former pitcher.
I wouldn't mind seeing it once a week. We're seeing it five times a week now.
Hey, I made a living doing that. I was so jealous of that kid's
you
fastball.
You were jealous of
I'd just like to have that heater right. for one
day.
Yeah,
that stuff for 24 hours that things you would do, right?
What is that piece of wood you got sitting over there, Skip?
This is called a bat, all right? Yeah, and this is something that I'm going to offer to you. Maybe you can go up there, get a knock
that
for the
fellas. That actually looks
today.
Like it's made some contact.
It has. A Derek Norris stick. Well, Derek Norris
it's one of our game-used bats that we have here as memorabilia on the set.
This was not one used yesterday in Philadelphia.
Clearly not. No.
It was tough. But it was something for them to move
Mike,
on
you're
from
welcome
now.
To swing it too.
Oh, thanks. Keep the wood away from me. This is a lot of strikeouts that the Padres don't need. We're going to come back because Jabari Blash is on his way, so we're going to chat with him about everything that's been going on lately and also with his big league career off to a fun start. And we'll talk about a lot of other stuff, including Jackie Robinson Day, because that is today. It's what they're celebrating here at Petco Park. April 15th marks Jackie Robinson's historic Major League Baseball debut. Robinson's courage, trials, and triumphs blazed the trail for America. Join Major League Baseball in commemorating his legacy through Jackie Robinson Day, which is today. Go to JackieRobinson.org or MLBCommunity.org to learn more. When we come back, Jabari Blash, I see him. He's on the way. We'll talk to him right after this on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, getting you set for game one of this nine-game homestand. Padres and D-backs coming your way at 7:40. Joining us now, Jabari Blash. It's our first in-person player guest live on Social Hour this season. Welcome to the couch, man.
Thanks for having
Great
me.
Great to have you here, big man.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Jabari joins us on the Cholula Hot Seat. And don't forget, fans, to be a part of the conversation with us, use hashtag PadresSH and also join the chat at Padres.com/Social Hour. Jabari, you've already got a couple knocks, a couple runs scored. How is life in the big league so far?
It's been a lot of work, to be honest, you know, with the role that I have and first time, you know, doing it and being ready and learning. So, you know, learn as you go, I guess.
No question about it. You know, just tell one quick story about how nice a person Jabari is. Because
I will not stop you.
You know, the season starts, you're going around, you're trying to introduce yourself to all the new players and, you know, hey, good to see you. Welcome to San Diego. This is the only guy that actually came up to me, introduced himself, and said, hey, what's up, tall man? How you doing? So I just thought it was so refreshing
Why'd
for a player.
Why'd you do that? He's not somebody worth talking to. He's not somebody worth
Well, he didn't
to.
Realize who he was talking to and how much time he was going to be wasting with that intro, but it was still impressive nonetheless. But great to watch you play. Congratulations on that first hit. And it was funny, you were just talking about it and how you were a little bit worried that maybe you'd gotten too much of that first hit and it would have gone out. You wouldn't have gotten the ball back. So you got your souvenir though, right?
I did. I was able to get the ball.
That double in Coors Field. So uh-huh, for anyone yeah. who didn't see it.
I did panic for a second when I hit it and worried about not being able to get it back. So it was definitely a great experience.
Now, did the boys mess with you a little bit? Because usually they throw a ball that looks like your ball into the stands. They hand you a fake ball with, you know, the wrong name on it, the wrong date, whatever it may be. Any fun with you on that one?
Not in the field, but I had to go through a little bit worse to get it from from Mark Levy. he made me go find it like it was Easter.
A little treasure hunt, a little scavenger hunt. I like that. What surprised you the most? What's been the most different than what you expected big league life to be a couple of weeks in?
Well, the pitching is good, man. You know, baseball is tough, but these guys don't miss much. But you know, just the atmosphere and I love the fans. You know, I really haven't done much at the big league level, and you know, they really embrace me in such a way that is I've never experienced it. So, you know, I'm definitely glad to be here.
Yeah, you talk about the pitching. Have you noticed guys trying to work you any differently at the big leagues and the minor leagues because of all the advanced scouting reports they have?
Well, with my length and the type of hitter that I am, you know, I'm not going to be that the guy to get, you know, serve something up. So they've been working in and out. Been seeing some tough pitches, having some tough at bats. But you know, for me, everything is a learning experience, and you can only get better.
You mentioned you're a fan favorite. You've got the great name, the great look. You and I, we've already talked about, we were in spring training, some of the fun we've had, some of the Photoshops I made every time you hit a home run. And we got a couple of those that we're taking a look at here. Hashtag blastoff has kind of taken social media by storm, at least when Jabari's been doing well. And there was this one, the Neil Armstrong Photoshop, when you actually made the big league roster. We had
Never
you,
seen that one.
Yeah, it was Jabari Solo, a Star Wars one. We had a whole bunch of them. The Mexico series, you had those monster shots. So we had a couple of those. My personal favorite was the Buzz Lightyear, Jabari Lightyear to Jabari and beyond. So, but like you said, the fan engagement, I mean, that's something that, I mean, we even have Blooper here, who was, when you were in getting your first ABs here in the opening series, and you had that ball that everyone in the park thought was out, and the Padres had not scored a run yet. And you remember that one? It was that fly out. We're watching it right here. And it just fell just short. Did you think you had that one out?
I know I didn't get that one, but I was
watch
hoping
watch
I got
Blooper,
enough
our producer
of it.
In the top right. He thinks it's gone. Everybody else is like a half second behind, and he just throws the arms up. He thought there was a blast off to start the year.
Priceless.
How close was that?
It was close, and when I hit it, I thought about just like, you know, trying to blow it from going around first, but you know, we struggled early. you know, when we started, we didn't score, and it was tough getting some runs going. But, you know, to get my first hit at Petco and potentially the first home run at the same time in Petco and the first run. So I can tell you, I really, really wanted that one to go out.
That's right. You still got a chance to get the first home run in front of the hometown crowd.
That's correct.
And, you know, your biggest fan is sitting right over here.
Right. Just
who knows what he's
going to
do
away.
When he actually hit it. The shirt might come off. Who knows?
Now, let's talk about that, Jabbar, because that series was a struggle for you guys offensively. And Colorado was great. You guys really exploded there. But then Philly, last couple of days has been tough. What's it like from the inside? What are some of these adjustments that the coaching staff's trying to work with you guys? What's the view like from the dugout on some of the recent offensive struggles?
For us as a team, I think we just need to stop pressing a little bit, because we have some bats in the lineup. And we've proven that we can hit and put the runs up for our pitches. And you know, at times we struggle. You know, we're 11 games in. You know, it's 164 games in the season. So, you know, there's a long way to go. And I think we have a great, great, great hitting staff and great coaching staff. And we have the pitches to get some wins. So, for us, it's just getting some runs on the board and getting the wins.
You know, Jabbar, is there one guy that's sort of been a mentor to you so far as taking the young guy under his wing and maybe trying to help you through some of these, early season challenges that you guys are facing as a ball club?
Well, for me, I've been blessed because I have Matt Kemp, I have BJ Upton and John Jay out there. And these are guys that have played the game for a long time and all different roles. So there's a lot of information for me to get there. But one guy that I think I've bonded with the most would be actually a pitcher, Andrew Cashner.
Really?
I think he is a great dude and gets on me quite a bit, but I love him.
That's
he's
awesome.
He's the longest tenured current Padre, so I feel like if you're a new face, he's kind of the sheriff in town that has to.
Yeah, you can say that.
Saddle up to.
Well, he'll show the young kids how to handle themselves in a clubhouse, but also from interesting. I mean, has he talked to you as a pitcher of what to look for, how he would work you? I mean, from the baseball side as well, getting that pitcher's perspective.
Yeah, the other day in Philly, I went up to stand in on one of his bullpens just because, you know, I'm not playing every day now, so to keep my eyes fresh and my timing down, and you know he put me in situations, you know, 2-1 count and this is where I'm going, and you know, 0-2, this is where I'm going. So actually he has been a big help with that.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Today, Jackie Robinson Day going on out there. We saw some of your teammates putting stuff on social media throughout the day. Melvin Upton Jr., who you mentioned, has some special Jackie Robinson cleats that he's wearing. Put that out on Twitter. Also Matt Kemp on Instagram.
Shieldsy.
Sorry?
Those are the best, the Adidas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they look
but
sharp.
He's not wearing them. He's going to put them in his showroom.
Oh, really?
These things are crazy.
Man, no, they look insane. And then Matt Kemp with his Instagram, a Jackie Robinson portrait. You grew up in the Virgin Islands. Obviously, it wasn't a baseball-crazy island. Your story's kind of been told how even you weren't into baseball that much growing up. How old were you? What did you know about Jackie Robinson growing up? When did you first become aware of kind of the impact he had on the game?
Well, I'll correct you first. Actually, there's a lot of guys back home that have followed baseball and are big fans and actually played a lot. It was just me personally. I wasn't invested into the game. I was a simple island kid that really didn't want to run around in the sun. And my mom kind of tested that. But, you know, I really didn't know much about Jackie Robinson growing up. I've known the story, but, you know, seeing documentaries and one of my hobbies is read. You know, I pick up reading, and I read about a lot of what he did and what he went through and the person that he was. You know, and I have to commend him, because if I was the first one coming through, you know, we wouldn't be in the game today. There's no way I would have been able to persevere through all everything that he did. So, you know, he did it the right way. He was the first, and he paved the way for all of us to be here.
No question about it. I mean, it's a tragedy that took so long for it to happen, 69 years ago. Now we're celebrating that. But you know, as far as you mentioned, your mom having a big influence on your baseball career as well. What was her impact on?
Well,
was she throwing you batting practice? Or?
She was just adamant about me being active, and and she wanted me more active. And
mom's right here today.
Yeah,
she's
hey, mom,
the
thank
trip.
You. Well
Hi,
done.
Mom. Getting and excited. Yeah, give a wave for the camera. Big wave. There she is.
One story that's true and it's crazy is that, you know, there were some practices that I had, and I would purposely leave my bag at home on purpose, knowing that I have practice.
Sorry, coach, can't play. Don't have my gear.
Don't have my stuff.
And
yeah.
Then after school, she'll come like, "Hey, where are you?" I'm like, "Well, I'm in by grandma." You know, she's like, "Well, don't you have practice?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I think I forgot my gear bag." And then she's like, "No, it's in the car. Come get it." So after a while, you know, I had to get creative with ways to avoid. But, you know, she is a big reason to why I'm here and why I am who I am. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, and now you made the big leagues. I mean, mom had it down from the very beginning. That's an awesome story. Jabbar, thanks for swinging by, man. Best of luck this series and for you guys to get out of this rut and for you this season too. Looking forward to it.
JB, great having you, man.
All right, Jabari was on the Cholula hot seat. Don't forget to uncap real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap, and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. We're back right after this on a beautiful Friday night in San Diego. This is Padres Social Hour.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Thank you, Jabari Blash, for swinging by. We now have Chris Ello back, so we lose a little bit of power on the couch.
And we lose looks.
And look, I wasn't going to say it, but we're back here in the AMR studio.
I enjoyed chatting with his mom, though, behind the scenes. She still has an unbelievable accent from the Virgin Islands.
From St. Thomas.
Yeah, no doubt that he grew up. I mean, he grew up there.
It's a long flight, but for a mom to see her baby boy, quote unquote, he's 6'5", 240. To see him up at the big leagues here at Petco Park.
He's got
Park.
A 6 foot
awesome.
Four brother who's knocking the ball around in Arizona right now.
Is that right?
Yeah. She said he's already hit 10 home runs this season.
That's awesome.
I love that bring him in.
Yes.
I love that mom has had such an influence on his career also.
That's
I mean,
great.
Her having the baseball bag there and saying, no, here you go. You're not going to slouch off. You're not just going to be a lazy kid sitting on the beach. Get out there and do something. And all of a sudden she gets a chance to come out here and watch her son play Major League Baseball.
To see that pay off right in front of your eyes. It's awesome.
And he still has a chance to hit the first home run and score the first run of the season
at Petco Park. Yeah, the first home dingers. That would be nice while she's here. I'm sure that would be a lot of tears of joy. Make sure to join the conversation like we told you at the top of the show. Hashtag PadresSH and also joining the chat at Padres.com/social hour. Speaking of parents and kids, we had one tweet in coming here during the break. It was from Ryan who says, can I get a shout out? Sure. Good luck this year. Hashtag blast off. First year season ticket owner. So congrats with his 1-year-old Padres fan. So there is dad and kid at Party in the Park walking around. That's what baseball is all about, guys. Pretty awesome.
Nice job.
That's a dream right there.
Oh,
for
yeah.
every father.
That
I
is.
To just bring
way to go, Ryan. That was my favorite thing actually as a player when kids would come up with their dads and the dad – would you sign this for my son? And it would melt my heart. It's like, this is so cool, man.
Except for in this day and age, the dad would say that, and then they would keep the ball and try to.
Right. They'd go ahead and sell it.
They'd get it like a dollar.
It wasn't really their kid. It was just some little kid that they hired. Here, kid, here's $5.
It's at least,
go ahead
and
get
when they have a kid. When the guy's just there by himself, like, oh, it's for my kid. He's back home. Yeah. My kid's name is eBay.
How many hotel lobbies did you walk through at 4 in the morning, and there were adults, and the kids were there as well to try and get the players to sign autographs. I mean, keeping kids awake till 4 in the morning to get an autograph.
It was amazing. When I was with the Cubs,
every
town we went to, it didn't matter. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, we'd roll into town.
And
there'd
be
50 to 100 people waiting there with their kids. The whole family was there. Wake the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, the neighbors. Let's go. Let's get some autographs from the Cubs.
And that was before you could pass time on Twitter or Snapchat. Oh, yeah. You're just waiting in the lobby doing
nothing.
Sat there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was no tweet, hey, the bus is on the way.
Right.
You know, Brewers, not so much. Cubs. Definitely.
All right. For this portion of our program, viewer discretion is advised because this contains some graphic statistics that may be offensive to Padres fans. 5 times shut out in the first 10 games. That's a first in Major League Baseball history. Just one run the last 29 innings for this Padres offense. They're only batting .139 outside of Coors Field. They have the 5th highest strikeout percentage in Major League Baseball. This has not been good, guys. At the first series, we all kept saying, small sample size, let's give this team some time, we'll revisit. On this show, we said, let's give them till the end of April. Well, now, after this other swoon, is the small sample size now large enough to worry? Is it panic time? Should we move up that deadline?
I'm not going to go panic time, but I'm going to be worried. Yeah, I'm definitely worried. I mean, come on. I mean, it's only 10 games, but 5 of the games you haven't scored a run, and then the 6th game you got a run with 2 outs in the 9th inning. Yeah, you got to be worried about that. I mean, is this team that we've seen through 10 games going to become a great hitting team at any time this season without some changes, without some different faces? I would have to definitely say I'm worried. I'm not panicked, but yeah, if you're not worried, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, at this point, you've got to be wondering what's going on. And when you look at, you know, these various stats, they lead the National League in strikeouts. That's certainly a concern. It's not as though they're putting the ball in play and, wow, they're getting robbed, a bunch of great defense. No, they're getting overmatched at times. We certainly saw that in the last outing that we talked about. And the other thing, you look at the infield as a whole hitting .211 at this point. And if it wasn't for the third baseman that have 12 of the hits that the entire infield has, it'd be well under .200.
Alexi Amarista, who wasn't even on the opening day roster, had to come up because of injury.
Yeah.
I still think there's still the month because, I mean, baseball's a game of adjustments, and obviously Andy Green now has to adjust, and he said that all the last 24, 48 hours. We have some adjustments to make. We have to change some things. So I say give them this one, like, whiplash back to see how they react to these last 29 innings of one-run ball before we go sky's falling. But, yeah, I mean, five shutouts, because they're not losing. They're getting blanked. That's the worrisome part.
And the other part, we talked about this early on. Excuse me. We gave credit to Andy Green for not panicking in the first series when they didn't score runs. He didn't mess around with his lineup a whole lot. But now he's starting to make some changes. And I think it's appropriate at this point. Look, you try to give guys a chance early on, right, Chris? But at some point you say, okay, you know what? It's incumbent on me as the skipper to try to put some guys in positions where they can be more effective. We're starting to see that a little bit more.
You got to mix things up, and I think the hitter's approach has to change a little bit. And I'm certainly no hitting coach. I mean, that's the last thing I would ever advertise myself as. But to me, when you're struggling as a team like this, it's time to wait back on the ball a little bit and try to hit the ball to center and to the opposite field. And I think that way you give yourself a little longer chance to see the ball. You're not thinking about, you know, knocking home runs, jerking a ball down the line. That, to me, hit some line drives the other way. Get it started that way. To me, that's the way to climb out of this funk. But, again, it's not coming from a hitting coach. It's just coming from somebody who's watched so much baseball over the years. And guys that are struggling always seem to just go back to square one and just – hit me some line drives up the middle, go the other way, and I think that can help.
Not being a hitting coach, I think you've got a great approach there. And the reason I say that is because as a pitcher, I know when guys are struggling.
Yeah.
What are they worried about most? Getting beat with the fastball inside, right? That is the number one fear of any hitter. And so as a pitcher, when I knew a guy was struggling, all I had to do was show him one fastball inside, make him aware of it, and the rest of the time I could go down and away because those guys are just so concerned about getting beat in.
Everybody's trying to pull everything and hit the ball out of the ballpark and try to be the hero. They got to take the other approach.
But how often can guys actually locate a fastball on the inside part of the plate? The reality of it is not that many guys. So as a hitter, I would do the exact opposite.
That's not the way it's been looking for these pitchers the Padres have been facing.
Well, now the report is out. Look, just go at them, especially if you're throwing 95 to 97, as Velasquez did the other day. But for the most part, you know, hitters are worried about getting beat inside. And I think that you take the opposite approach that Chris was talking about. Of, you know, I'm going to give up the inside corner. I'm going to look out over. Now, it depends on who's pitching, and that's where the adjustments that Andy's talking about comes in, because at this level, it gets a little finer.
I've got the answer.
Okay.
To the Padres' offensive
orders.
You're hearing it right here. You're not going to get this anywhere else. So I was perusing Baseball Reference earlier today, and there's just stats galore. So for a stat nerd like me, you can get lost. It's Willy Wonka. They have team splits, and they have all the batting stats for different counts and times in the at-bat. So this is like, you know, 2-0 count or any time after two strikes, that kind of stuff. The only averages that the Padres have above 300 are in a 2-0 count, makes sense, hitters count, when there are zero strikes, on a 1-1 count, on the first pitch, or any time after 2-0. You know what that tells me? Swing early. First two pitches, that's when you have to get that aggression. I want to see these guys hitting or swinging at first pitch strikes, at second pitch strikes, ASAP tonight. I don't want any waiting. I want more aggression and less
counts. Don't work the count.
Yeah.
Don't work
the attack. Count. That's what I want to see from this team.
I like being aggressive, but again, I don't think you can be aggressively trying to pull the ball out of the ballpark. So there's a fine line there. And again, I think like Scan said, get something out over the plate, hit a line drive to right center field, get yourself on first base. Let's get some first and thirds.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with bloop singles. I'm happy with going the other way, but I want that early in the at-bat.
They need a couple of runs early in the ball game too, right? Because if you're scoreless through the first time through the order, the second time through the order, now for sure everyone's pressing late in the ball game because they know what's happened already this season.
Well, it starts with your leadoff man also. I mean, yeah, you want to get some runs early, but the leadoff man is hitting 200 at this point. The league average is about 311, so they're just not getting guys on base. But I love your point, not only specifically to the Padres.
Thank you. Go ahead.
You're welcome, Mike. Not only specifically to the Padres right now, but I think in general there is this mantra of you've got to be patient, you've got to wait.
Work the count. Be patient.
Hey, there are times where guys are giving you your best pitch to hit first pitch, you know? And if you got this reputation as an organization or as an individual player, I'm taking that first pitch all the time, you're going to get a lot of cookies down the middle. You look at the batting average of the league on first pitch swinging, it's over 300 every single
good.
Year. Yeah.
It's pretty good. The classic Yankee teams, they could take pitches because they could all hit with two strikes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This Padre team can't hit with two strikes, so they got to, like you said, Mike, get in situations
and I just thought
before there's two strikes.
And Alcides Escobar, who got sort of a cult legend last year, the Royal shortstop, for literally swinging at every single first pitch. And you get to the World Series, no way he's going to do that. And what was that, Matt Harvey, I think, the game one starter, grooves one, and there he goes hitting it off the wall. I mean, to your point, Scan, the batting average on first pitch is just go for it. A lot of times it's just a fastball to try and set up the rest of the count. Jump on it. Why not?
Exactly.
And what you're doing now isn't working. So yeah.
No, look, give it a look, shot. The approach, obviously, of these work ahead, that's why we were talking about Velasquez the other day and how he was able to get through the lineup on 113 pitches. Part of it is strike one here. I'm coming at you. What can you do with it? And you got to be ready to jump on that first one, and hopefully the Padres can do that. We'll see if they get some cookies. Now, against a guy like Zach Greinke tonight, you're not going to get
problem,
a whole lot
is he's
of cookies down the middle.
Yeah, no matter what this offense had been doing the last couple of days, that's a roadblock. But he's had his struggles this season, so maybe he's in a bit of an adjustment feeling out period too. Another stat that I found while I was doing my Sherlock Holmesing today, Baseball Reference qualifies pitchers as either power pitchers, finesse pitchers, or kind of in the average. And after yesterday, the Padres combined OPS against power pitchers, 318, which is abysmal.
OPS?
OPS, 318. Against finesse pitchers, 722. So if you got some heat, this team is not well-equipped for it so far.
Yeah, I think it got a little bit imbalanced because of the game yesterday. You got nine innings.
Slightly, but
right.
Still.
But I'm just trying to think of who
and
else they faced.
And you faced Kershaw.
Yeah, but I don't.
They're going to put him in the power pitcher.
Right,
category.
But the rest of them, De La Rosa is not really a power guy. I mean, most of the other guys they faced, I wouldn't really categorize as such. But
that I'm not ready to panic about. What I am ready to panic about is just
too small a sample size for that one. I think.
I think so.
I loved. We got a lot of flack on Twitter. At least I did yesterday after the shutout. Like, oh, you were saying small sample size at the after three games. Not small sample size anymore.
Not on the offense, but when you start breaking it down into specifics, like I go through those same things you do and look at pitchers and what are the counts, are they getting hit on 1-0, 2-0, behind in the count, ahead in the count, and it all has trends at some point, but early on you just got to say, okay, we're talking about 2 games, 2 weeks, let's not try to make too much into it, but certainly worth looking at.
But
we'll revisit it as the season goes
and
on.
And if we're looking at that kind of stuff, right,
just
sitting on the couch,
imagine what they've
imagine
got
what
the
coaches are doing.
They're grinding
the staff
through it.
I mean, they're all doing this stuff right now, trying to find a way out of this because it's their livelihood. I mean, this is what it's all about. And you're right about Greinke. I mean, he's a guy who's going to give you strike one, but it's going to be on the corner at the knees. So you know, maybe you can't be too aggressive against him tonight. We'll see. Hopefully he's a little off again.
You hope he's a little off here. The strategy from my perspective against a guy like Greinke, he loves to sit on the outside corner. If I'm a Padres, I'm getting up on the plate a little bit. I'm looking for that mistake if he does make it on the outside part of the plate, and I'm going to try to force him to come in on me tonight in a place that he's not generally comfortable. So we'll see what the Padres' approach is.
Jump on him. I said right away, beginning of the at-bat, just do it. We got a couple new things here on the set. We've got this this cool hat here on the table that I'm looking at. We have a Tyson Ross T-shirt giveaway, and that's because Baseball Night in San Diego is back with this homestand. Saturdays at Petco Park mean all fan giveaways. Saturday, April 23rd, so that's a week from tomorrow. That will be the Padres taking on the Cardinals at 5:40.
Everyone's going to have one of these.
Nice.
Everyone at the ballpark
The hat's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Tyson Ross jersey is a week from tomorrow. So you can get your tickets at Padres.com/BNISD. The cool new thing is that all the jerseys this year and the hoodie giveaways, they have different sizes. When I grew up, it was always you just get your double XL to fit everyone in the ballpark. Not this year. So, again, Padres.com/BNISD. We're back to chat about some pitching. Good thing we got you back, Scans, and you, Chris. This is some arms to talk about after this on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Yes, it is, right back here in the AMR studio. It's been doom and gloom for most of the show, talking about the offense primarily. But, guys, let's do a silver lining segment. And for me, it's been the pitching the last couple of days. Obviously, they all come away with losses, so you can debate the merits of the win-loss statistic based on what these guys have done. But between Robbie Erlin, Colin Ray, and Drew Pomeranz, and Scans, this is a weird sight, seeing someone affiliated with the Padres with their feet on a base, as you've done here now in the AMR studio.
You know, we're here in support of our guys, right? So whatever it takes to get the mojo going.
Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Actually, the reason I brought this out, I thought it was really cool because you see these little emblems they have down here. This one has SD on it. But during
on the sides of the bases, the little plates
on the sides of the
have.
Bases right there. But during special events like Jackie Robinson Day, sometimes they'll actually put a special plate on there, Jackie Robinson Day, the anniversary date of it and everything. And it was pretty neat because I just think it's cool when you see those types of things. The subtle little things that MLB tries to go to extra lengths to take care of. I actually took a picture of it a couple of years ago and kept it as my screensaver as a reminder.
Nice.
So
subtlety, the nice touches.
Little things.
Good.
Can you pull the bags out of the dirt pretty simple the way Ricky Henderson did? Remember
absolutely.
When
he stole
on stealing one today? Is that
today,
why you're asking?
I am the greatest
player in the history of the game. That's what I remember. That's what I think of when I see a base is Ricky Henderson.
Here, give it a try, man. It feels good, actually.
Today, I am the greatest of all. Yeah, it feels good.
Mike, you want to give it a try?
No, I'm good. You guys can enjoy it. Yeah, I think I'm confident in my greatness.
I'm going to tell you
above my head.
Either I'm weak or that's a little heavier than I thought it was.
Right.
Probably.
It's a little heavier, no doubt.
Social hour lessons. Bases are
heavier than you think. A little heavier than you think.
Enough bases. Let's go to rubbers. Let's go to the mound. So like we said, so 19 innings between those guys, only 4 earned runs that back end of the rotation. At least with all that's been, skies falling with this team, that's something good to take away, right?
No doubt about it. I love seeing the good pitching. I love the fact that so far we haven't seen these guys pressing and that, look, when your offense isn't scoring a lot of runs, sometimes you start trying to do more than you're capable of doing, right? Hey, it's not good enough for me to go out there and give up 2 runs. I got to go out there and pitch a shutout, and that's when you start making foolish pitches, foolish decisions, and all of a sudden it turns into a 5-run inning because you're trying to pitch a shutout.
Let me ask you that. When does it go from that to the next level, not just worrying about it, but maybe getting frustrated? Like, man, no matter what I do, I'm just not getting any support.
Well, there's guys that go through that, and really they end up beating themselves because the bottom line is you have to look at it and say, are these guys trying not to score right now? Or if an error is made behind you, are these guys trying? I mean, do they yell at me when I hang a slider and it gets hit over the fence? No, they better not be. And so, again, this comes back down to everybody is in the same boat. We're in this thing together. Hey, I know you guys are going to get some runs from me. I know you're going to make the plays behind me. In the meantime, I just got to keep doing my job. As long as they don't try to do more than they're capable of doing, that's when you start running into problems.
And you got to just keep pitching well, and you got to just make sure that on the night when your offense does get 7, that's not a night you messed around and
gave up
8.
You're giving up 8,
You know, I agree with you, Scan. There are some guys that let it get to them, but I think for the most part, you know, they're in the major leagues because they can put that stuff aside and go out there and do their job. But the Padres pitcher's job is tougher than most teams right now because, I mean, remember we got on Cashner the last start he made here because he gave up 4 in the first inning, basically took him out of the game before they ever even came to bat. That's a factor. I mean, James Shields has to be thinking about that as he steps out on the mound tonight. I can't go out there and give up a 3-run homer in the first inning tonight. I can't put us in a quick hole.
No doubt about it. And there's also sort of this camaraderie that kicks in with pitching staff sometimes where you verbalize it, other times you don't, but it's the sense of, you know what, we're going to fight through this, and we're going to stick into this thing together. Bullpen, you're going to pick us up, starting rotation, we're going to go as deep as we can, and, you come together sort of like the Marines of, you know what, we might not have the best equipment, but we're going to go out and get the job done anyway.
Right. In the mid-60s, I mean, of course they had Koufax and Drysdale, but the Dodgers used to give it the old, somebody would say Koufax pitched a shutout tonight, and somebody would say, well, yeah, but did they win? Because those Dodger teams didn't score at all, but Koufax and Drysdale would win 1-0 just about every time out.
Yep. So. And nobody's Koufax or Drysdale
on
the staff, but that's still, giving up. When you give up 3 and you worry, is that going to be good enough? That's a problem.
That's your job, though, right now. I mean, your job right now is to limit them to, fewer than your guys can get you.
The problem, it's got to be a frustration because I think about football where if you don't have a good offense but you have a good defense, at least maybe a pick 6 or a fumble recovery, you can get yourself some offense. Here, unless James Shields is hitting a home run tonight, it's very tough to help yourself out in baseball.
True, and that's where you, again, want to try to put pressure on the opposing team. Look, if you can keep the game close, and here in this ballpark, anything can happen in terms of the 1-1 win, right? You got to start playing small ball. You got to do the little things. And that's the thing about baseball. I always felt like, look, if you don't have an offense, if I'm doing my job on the mound, I'm keeping us in the game. And at some point, they might make a mistake and open up the doors for us.
And as we heard at the top of the show, when the Padres score at least a run, they're pretty good.
They're now six games over 500 since I came up with that stat.
Way to go, Stat
Master. Let's talk about today's pitching matchup, and it's brought to us by Water and Sports Physical Therapy, the official physical therapists of the San Diego Padres. A lot of star power, a lot of marquee naming rights here in this one. It's James Shields for the Padres, Zach Greinke for the D-backs. Even with those heavy-hitting names, though, both guys not off to starts they're accustomed to. Shields 0-2, ERA at almost 5, but Greinke also 0-2, paid $200 million for a 9.9 ERA. Jeez. Is tonight the night that he finally figures it out? Is tonight the night that Shields finally plants a flag? How do you see this one breaking down?
That's $40 million of pitching on the mound tonight, Chris.
Yeah, that's a lot of – that's a zip-zip game to me into the seventh inning. You know, Greinke has been missing his spots because, like we said, he's not a power pitcher per se.
He's a fine pitcher.
But he is almost perfection. In fact, you look at his season last year, I would make the argument that he had one of the best seasons a pitcher has ever had who did not win the Cy Young Award. Right? I mean, a 1.6 ERA.
Well, it was
ERA,
loaded by him. It was amazing.
And Arrieta ended up taking the – Greinke made 12 starts last year where he did not give up a run.
And
tonight he's facing a team that hasn't scored a run five times already this year. So you got to hope he's off, because if he's not off, you're not going to get your hitting going.
It was an amazing season last year, and in watching him, I just couldn't help but have that comparison to Greg Maddux in terms of the command that he had of the outside corner. He just does not make mistakes with that breaking ball when he goes to the outside part of the plate against right-handers.
Well, he's been making them this year. I mean, Colorado took him deep, I think, 3-4 times in the first game.
So my question as to why that might be going on, I mean, obviously guys just have a couple of bad games, thin air, yada, yada, yada. A lot's being put on his shoulders this year. He is not just the number two pitcher in a great staff following up Kershaw. Hey, Zach, don't worry about it. You're not in the spotlight. You're not in the limelight. You're not expected to be a leader. Just go out and give us your innings. This year, he's expected to be the man, and I'm wondering if that doesn't have an effect.
Well, you know what? And we do want to thank, actually, Water and Sports Physical Therapy. They are San Diego's leader in aquatic and land therapy with 7 convenient locations. Visit waterandsportspt.com. My answer to that, you don't want that pressure? Don't take $200-plus million. You're asking for it.
Several years ago when he was with the Royals, that Zach Greinke was out of baseball for a little while or a disabled list stint because he had some anxiety issues?
Social anxiety syndrome.
So I'm not saying that's what's happened to him early this season, but I totally agree with you, Bob. Don't take the $200 million. Good luck with that. But when you're the number one ace, it's different than being the number two guy. And I think he's going through an adjustment there. Now, James Shields, he is used to being a number one ace, and he's got to be a stopper tonight. And he's got to stay away from the home run ball. I mean, it's as simple as that, Bob, right? 36 home runs.
He's given up already.
36 home runs since the start of last season, which is the most in baseball. So he's got to stay away from that, and that's the key for him tonight. I think if he keeps the ball in the ballpark, then he matches up with Greinke in a great, great pitcher's duel.
I would agree with you. We've talked about it a little bit before in terms of the home run problem with Shields. The good news is a lot of them have been solo shots, which is nice. But that being said, really
bad news with this offense.
Yeah, no, but the issue comes down to, for me, consistency getting to the outside corner, the glove side of the plate for him, into the lefties, away to the right-handers. There have been a lot of mistakes, and that's usually where he's been getting burned. So if he can get back down to commanding that outside corner to the righties, getting it in when he wants to come into the lefties, you got James Shields back again.
We're watching some of the highlights of the home runs he's given up, and Carlos Gonzalez, left-hander, outside half of the plate, he took him opposite field for his home run. The one we just saw, I missed the batter, but it was
Arenado
on the inner half out to a righty, and then he just hung one as well. So keep an eye on that tonight, that outside half of the plate for Shields, to Scan's point. So
yeah, get that ball outside, and I think – you know, Shields has to, and he does, right? I mean, he's a gamer. He's a Tiger. He's got to think, I'm winning 2-1 tonight. That's it. I'm just winning 2-1 tonight. Or if it has to be 1-0, I'm winning 1-0. But that's got to be the attitude. I bet you Greinke's thinking the same thing. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun in that regard.
You know, it's interesting. When you start talking about that, it's so easy as a player to start thinking about what I want to do in terms of winning this game or getting the save or going 3-for-4. Yeah, you want to do that. But how do you do that? It comes back down to every single pitch. You know, you want to win the war, you've got to win the battle. To win the battle, you've got to win the skirmishes. Every single pitch is one of those skirmishes. And as much as you get distracted with, you know, I got to win 2-1 tonight, how do you do that? I've got to make this pitch right here, right now. It's the only thing I have control of.
It's a tough thing, and Andy Green keeps talking about that individual at-bats, warrior mentality. It's easy to think 29 innings, one run. It does boil down to this pitch, the next pitch, etc. But a lot of money on the mound tonight. So if it's not a 1-0 or 2-1 game, there will be a lot of accountants in the respective front offices wondering, what do we spend this cash on? The Padres are proud to honor the men and women of the U.S. military. Sunday, April 17th, that's this Sunday, against these same Diamondbacks at Petco Park. It's Military Opening Day, presented by USAA. All military receive 50% off tickets to every Military Sunday Appreciation Game. Get your tickets at padres.com/military. As we get you set for the home opener of this home stand, we're going to put Chris Ello versus Blooper after this on Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour as the Padres get set to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks in about 50 minutes' time. The 7:40 starts on Fridays. We're here in the AMR studio, and Scan's here helping Chris Ello with his tie. And good thing, because, guys, we've got some fans. Let's take a look at the tweets coming in at hashtag PadresSH. From Meredith Cody says, just tuned in. What is happening on the couch tonight? Hubba, hubba.
Whoa.
Not that you're not always handsome, Janella. Oh, thank you very much. I didn't know my mom had that assumed alias writing in. Now, what about Blooper, though? He's handsome, too, right?
He's looking good. Absolutely.
It's not just the couch.
I just can't wait till Jabari hits his first home run. We can see Blooper
with
his shirt off.
All right, actually, go crazy. All right, let's get to today's lineup, and let's get to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Now, yesterday, it was the debut of it, and at the end, Mike Grace, who was in the third seat, Blooper won last year, and he said he's back for another ring. And here he went with the win yesterday because he picked Drew Pomeranz and the couch picked John Jay. And Jay was hitless as the Padres
were
shut out.
My big man, media. You ready?
So you got to equalize.
Well,
Now, before we get your picks in, I want a couple tweets that came in yesterday because Blooper said, I'm going for the ring again. And Mike Grace pointed to his wedding ring and said, you'll never have one of these rings.
Ooh.
Which I said, low blow. So Friar Fever tweeted in, whoa, throwing the super shade on Seth Foster. Be careful, that man can put the ears on you. And then Ghost of Ray Kroc saying, that was a low blow. Blame Blooper only goes so far, man. So maybe you'll take pity on Blooper with your pick
I have a
today?
Lot of respect for Blooper. I really do. I mean, I don't think he's going to beat me, but I have a lot more respect.
Ooh, all right. The gauntlet has been thrown. Let's take a look at that lineup now. It's presented by United. Everybody wearing number 42 tonight. It's John Jay again in center field. Will Myers at first, batting second. That's a big change. Andy Green said before the game that that's to try and get Myers more aggressive at the plate. That's what I said, too. Matt Kemp in right field bats third. Melvin Upton Jr. cleanup in left. Then Derek Norris, Corey Spangenberg at second base. And the lower third is Alexei Ramirez at short, Alexi Amarista at third, and James Shields picking. Yesterday, Blooper got the first pick. Today, Chris, for the couch,
the
you
couch
get it.
The couch goes today? All right. And you guys have made a big deal about it, telling me I can go with the pitcher. Because
it's whoever
it's
has the most positive impact on the game.
The pitcher probably would have the most obvious. But to me, the guy who's going to be the biggest impact today is going to be whoever can put a couple of runs on the board for the Padres. And I think it's going to be a guy that's seen Zach Greinke before and a guy that's seen him going back to the American League when he played with the Chicago White Sox and a guy that is due to bust out, and he's a little better player than I think Padre fans think he is, and that's Alexei Ramirez. I think he's due. Knock one off the wall tonight. He does have home run power if Greinke makes a mistake. He also can flash some leather at shortstop. He's a very good defensive player. So he saves a run, knocks in a couple. Alexei Ramirez is the guy tonight.
All right. Blooper, your rebuttal.
I like the call.
I'm going Will Myers. I like him batting second.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Both offense tonight.
Good reasoning, too, Blooper.
You want to go in depth on that at all?
That's as in-depth as I get.
He lets the scoreboard do the talking. That's what he says. He's up 1-0.
And you're the judge of this. So if they both go 0-4 tonight, you just have to decide who hits the ball harder?
I am judge, jury, and in some cases executioner. So, tune back in tomorrow to see who wins it. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Blooper trying to extend his lead. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Petco Park filling up as the Padres take on the D-backs tonight. We're back with more Social Hour after this.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, Chris, Scan, remember a couple days ago we had you guys both on and MLB had just revealed those All-Star workout jerseys and caps for All-Star Week?
Yeah.
We're back here in the AMR studio. Well, we didn't show you then, but the hats that they're going to be wearing for the workouts in the Home Run Derby are those 1984 Padres looks, and we're bringing them up now. And remember we said that, the Cubs fans are not going to be happy about that that 84 font. Well, I caught this on CubsInsider.com. Evan Altman yesterday or today, I think, wrote about. He's a fan blog. He says, the distaste for the Cubs Pods hybrid caps that he saw on Twitter ranges from hard pass to I'd rather give birth to the Antichrist without the benefit of an epidural. So we were right. The Cubs fans are not happy.
They don't want to be reminded of that. Make sure that Leon Durham doesn't get near one of those hats and has a flashback to that ground ball by Flannery going under his legs in game five.
Yeah, so they are not happy. But it is a good
look. Sutcliffe, even, who had a 3-0 lead in that game five and with the help of that error.
That's what you get Steve Garvey to come back and, you know, model some of that stuff. I'm sure he'd be happy to do so.
Yeah, just get all the bad flashbacks back for everybody. All right, that's going to do it for us. Make sure to stick around. It's a 7:40 first pitch. James Shields, Zach Greinke. Also, Jackie Robinson Day, so it's going to be great there. And, hey, good luck to Don Orsillo making his first TV appearance in the booth, calling the game.
He'll get him, Don.
He'll be smooth, and James Shields will be smooth.
It'll all be smooth.
All you have to do is get out number 42 tonight. That's it.
4 o'clock tomorrow. We'll catch you on Padres Social Hour.